I don't know many women who love change. I certainly don't. Many of us thrive and function best in routine. We don't want to expect the unexpected. We'd rather plan and prepare and account for as we confidently look at our calendars, anticipating how the next day or week or months are going to go. I'm dating myself here, but I remember as a teenager learning about this new life-altering, game-changing, World Wide Web that everyone was talking about and thinking, no thanks. I decided it was probably just a fad and would fade away, and there was no sense in learning about it or considering how it would impact my life. I was content to keep things the way they were. No game-changing for me. Well, my distaste for change notwithstanding, I was obviously wrong about the impact of the internet. It was not the first or the last time I would be knocked off my feet, so to speak, by significant change, not only in the culture, but in my relationships, in my circumstances, and even in my own heart. As we all encounter major changes in our individual lives, and as the world around us continues to change, we need a place to find steady hope. We need somewhere to stand when we wake up to the news that a loved one has passed away, or when our husband's job is in jeopardy, or when our child has made a poor and consequential decision. The truth is, there is one who never changes. There is one who stays the same, our unchanging, immutable God. God never changes. Now, before we dive into the meat of the message, it's probably best to start off with a definition. What do we mean when we say that God is immutable? Well, we are referring to the fact that God is unchanging in his being, in his character, in his word, and in his purposes. He is eternally consistent. Thomas Watson says, "In God, there is nothing that looks like change, for better or worse. Not better, because then he would not be perfect. Not worse, for then he would cease to be perfect." In his book, The Attributes of God, A.W. Pink says, that God has neither evolved, grown, nor improved. All that he is today, he has ever been and ever will be. Whatever the attributes of God were before the universe was called into existence, they are precisely the same now and will remain so forever. The immutability of God means not only that he does not change, but that he cannot change. Practically speaking, God does not become greater or lesser. He does not become stronger or weaker. He does not develop. He does not evolve. He does not grow. He does not improve. He does not mature. He does not decline. He is, as Pink says, perpetually the same. He identified himself to Moses, as we read in Exodus 34:14, as "I am who I am." This is not simply a name or description of God, but rather a declaration of his self-existence and his eternal changelessness. It is a reminder to mankind that he has life in himself and that what he is now, he is eternally. His entire being, his entire essence, does not change. Scripture is full of references to God's immutability. According to one commentator, the overwhelming evidence of the Bible is that God stays the same in power and authority, and that his word stands the test of time. From the Old Testament to the New, God's word reveals his perfectly unchanging nature. For example, Malachi 3:6 says succinctly, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Or turn with me to Psalm 102. We're going to pick it up in verse 25. "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you." James 1:17 also reminds us that every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And the author of Hebrews confirms that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God doesn't change. This should provide us with a great deal of comfort and stability. Do we want a God whose love can change? Do we want a God whose holiness can change? Do we want a God whose power can change? As one commentator noted, it is an incredible blessing to confirm God's immutability. He went on to say that even the salvation of God's people is directly dependent on his immutability, which is present in the Bible as a guarantee of the truth of the gospel itself. For that reason, if for no other, God's immutability must be regarded as of supreme importance. Let's delve into a few facets of God's immutability. First, God's character does not change. He is every bit as holy, gracious, righteous, and loving as he ever was. And despite what some of the more liberal Bible scholars might say, the God of the New Testament is no less angry with sin than the God of the Old, and the God of the Old Testament is no less loving than the God of the New. Unlike God, our character changes over time. One theologian said that man can ascribe nothing constant to himself except his own inconsistency. Honest people become liars. Faithful people become disloyal. Kind people become bitter. Sinners become saints, and saints still sin. For those of us that are parents, we can see our children go from obedient to rebellious, from angry to tender-hearted, from selfish to selfless, from contentious to peace-seeking, all in the course of a day. For good or for bad, we have characters that change. We are not consistent. We are not reliable. And because we are constantly changing, our relationships with others are compromised. Friends disappoint us, spouses dissatisfy us, parents hurt us, children frustrate us, leaders fail us, but not God. His character is perfectly fixed. He never becomes less truthful or less faithful or less good. His mercy is an unchanging mercy. His justice is an unchanging justice, and his love is an unchanging love. What a comfort that unchanging love in particular should be to us as we go about our days. On the days when we feel unloved by our husbands or our children or our friends, or even when we feel particularly unlovable, God's love for us never changes. Even when we don't feel his love, it is unchangeably there. And even when we don't act or obey as though we love him, his love for us never falters. One commentator said this, "For those who belong to Christ by faith, God's immutable love is guaranteed. We are the recipients of God's love before we love him. Our love for him may wax and wane in imperfection, but God's love for us remains as unchanging as his very being." Isaiah speaks of God's everlasting love, declaring that even if the mountains are removed, God's steadfast love will never depart from his people. Think about it this way. God will be what he is because he is always himself, unchanging in his love towards us, because he simply cannot be anything else to those of us who are in Christ. If we remember nothing else, we should remember that. There was no one else who can love us like that, and there was nowhere else to find a love that satisfies like that. I mean, just imagine if God's love for us was not actually immutable. What assurance would we have of his gracious election of us before the foundation of the world? Ephesians 1 tells us that in love he chose us for adoption, for redemption, and for every spiritual blessing, all before we were even born. One scholar said that it is only because God's love is immutable that we can rest assured that the God who chose us prior to creation will not only turn us into new creatures, but guard us from the evil one so that one day we will enjoy the new creation. Did you catch that? His love for us from eternity past and to present day will continue into eternity future. It's the same love because he's the same, unchanging God. And again, God's immutability impacts all of his attributes, not just his love. We will never find a friend more faithful than God. We will never find a counselor more merciful than God. We will never find a standard more holy than God's. We will never find scales of justice more righteous than God's. Knowing all of this should help us quiet the noise of the world and how we relate to it, recognizing that so much of we seek out for ourselves in our relationships and in the culture at large can never truly satisfy. God's unchanging character should bring us peace. God is also unchanging in his truth and his word. God's mind does not change. His views do not change. His word does not change. And his knowledge does not change. We humans change all of these. We are fickle and indecisive. You should see me trying to pick out an ice cream. And you should see the vein in my husband's forehead as he's watching me try to pick out an ice cream. We change our minds and have to go back on our word. We say things we don't really mean. How often have we had to go back and say, I meant that in the moment, or I thought I was right, or I really intended to follow through on that? As J.I. Packer in the book Knowing God says, the words of human beings are unstable things, but not so the words of God. They stand forever as abidingly valid expressions of his mind and thought. No circumstances prompt him to recall them. No changes in his own thinking require him to amend them. Jesus teaches us in John 10:35 that scripture cannot be broken. He says in Matthew 5:18, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter nor stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 reminds us that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Take a look with me at Psalm 119. We're going to start in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And drop down to verse 152. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. His word, therefore, is sure and unchanging. God's truth did not fail then, and it will not fail now. I remember when the Supreme Court handed down its Obergefell decision in 2015, legalizing quote-unquote same-sex marriage. Even living at the time in liberal California, it was an unsettling moment to witness the highest court in the land stray again so far from righteousness. But Jesse looked at me and said, God's word is true. I was so thankful for that reminder that even as we were watching the winds of change shift the culture in real time, the truth remains. The truth, God's word, doesn't change. No matter what those nine justices decided that day was true about marriage or anything else for that matter, the only thing that matters is what God says, which is fixed forever. It can be easy in a church like ours to echo yes and amen to this, to affirm that God's word is true and unchanging and we can trust it. But this should not just be head knowledge for us, because the reality of God's unchanging truth impacts everything about how we live as women. God's design for women is laid out clearly in Scripture, and no matter what the culture says, it hasn't changed. It hasn't become outdated or antiquated. It's not on the wrong side of history. When we read our Bibles, we need to remember that God still stands behind all of the promises, demands, standards, and words of warning addressed to the New Testament believers. They are not relics of a bygone era, as some would have us believe. Instead, they are, as J.I. Packer says, an eternally valid revelation of the mind of God toward his people in all generations, so long as this world lasts. What a relief it should be to know exactly what our measuring stick is to be as women. It's not the preferences or the standards of the world, it's the Bible. And therein we see how we are called to live. It's pursuing holiness and purity. It's displaying the fruit of the Spirit. It's submitting to and helping our husbands and our leaders. It's teaching and training our children. It's serving the body. It's a faithful prayer life. It's a life marked by obedience to the word that is fixed in the heavens, the only word we can trust. In my book study this past year, we were reading Knowing God by Packer. It's deep, and it's profound and theological and excellent. But as we were drilling down on some of the finer points of knowing God, one of the ladies said, you know, I have a hard enough time just trying to be a godly wife and mom. I want to do that well, and then maybe I could focus on the Trinity or the Incarnation. And of course, doctrine is important, and there's certainly a place to mine those depths. But her point was well taken. We do have a high calling as women, and the basics, so to speak, don't always come so easy. It is hard to be a godly wife and mom. But even when it's hard, and even when it's a struggle, we can know that we are in alignment with God's will for us because he's told us in his word exactly what he's calling us to do. And it hasn't changed and it won't change. Let's be encouraged that the mandate for women today is the same as it was thousands of years ago. Everything that tempts us to deviate from what God has clearly laid out in His Word should be discarded. God's unchanging Word is a solid foundation on which we can stand. We can also stand on His unchanging purposes. Scripture is clear on this. Moses records the words of Balaam in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, when he says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? And 1 Samuel 15:29 confirms that God will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Changing one's mind or repenting means revising one's judgment and changing one's plan of action. God never does this. He never needs to. As Packer says, his plans are made on the basis of a complete knowledge and control which extends to all things past, present, and future, so that there can be no sudden emergency or unexpected development to take him by surprise. God has no need to revise a single one of his decrees. Psalm 33:11 says that the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Isn't that amazing? What God does, he planned from eternity past. All that he has committed himself to do will, without exception, be done. God's intentions do not change. No part of his eternal plan changes. What this should do is bring a blessed comfort to those of us who are recipients of his promised inheritance. All that he has purposed to do in our lives and in the future will come to pass. Now, we don't have time to get into it too deeply here, but there are a group of texts in the Bible that seemingly speak of God as changing his mind in some way. You may be familiar with the verses in Genesis 6 about how God was sorry or regretted that he had made man, or in Jonah when he relented of his plan to destroy Nineveh. We see in 2 Chronicles 32 that the Lord added 15 years to Hezekiah's life when he prayed for healing. But suffice it to say that in each of those circumstances, it is the human agent who changes, not God. And it is God who responds according to his unchanging nature to those circumstances. So Nineveh repents, and God shows mercy. Mercy is God's unchanging nature towards the repentant. Hezekiah prays, and God grants the request. This is God's unchanging inclination towards those who humbly petition him. I like how one commentator put it. The change is always in the disposition of the creature, not in the nature of God or his will. None of what the Bible refers to as God changing his mind suggests that anything took him by surprise or that the human reaction was unforeseen. No change in his eternal plan is ever implied. Jesse said in the Summer in the Systematic series that these supposed instances where God changes his mind or repented is simply an example of God accommodating our own limited language capacities to relate to us in a way that we can understand. We see this when we read of God having certain bodily members, such as eyes, ears, and hands, which he doesn't literally have since he's spirit. And we see God stoop down to us in human terms when he refers to himself as waking in Psalm 78 and rising early in Jeremiah 7. But we know that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. So no, there is no change or deviation in God's plans or purposes. And praise him for that. We can trust that nothing ever has or ever will thwart what he has purposed to come to pass. This is true of the plans and purposes he had for nations like Nineveh and kings like Hezekiah, and it's true of the plans and purposes that he has for us. Please turn to Romans 8. We'll be in verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Did we catch that? He foreknew. He predestined. He called. He justified. And he glorified. See, we do nothing to secure our salvation. According to his own unchanging purpose, God secures it for us. The believer cannot secure it, and we certainly cannot keep it. But in his unchanging faithfulness, God does both. So why does God choose us for salvation and conform us into the likeness of his Son? Because it's part of his sovereign, wise plan to do so. We can be sure that he will never alter nor void even one bit of his eternal plan, big or small, for he is unchanging in his faithfulness to fulfill his promises. And those promises include, as we see here in Romans 8, a salvation that is eternal. And what does that mean practically? It means that he will faithfully manifest his love, forgiveness, mercy, and grace towards us forever. His covenant of peace with his children will not be shaken because he never changes. And what are all of his promises ultimately secured by? They are secured by the immutability of God himself. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with an oath given as confirmation is the end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Here, the author of Hebrews points to God's unchanging nature and character to reassure his readers that they are children of the promises of blessing to Abraham. One scholar said, whether or not God's oath, on which salvation depends, is reliable, depends entirely on the unchanging nature of his holy character. Whether all the covenant promises will be ours rests not only on God's faithfulness to the covenant, but on the unchanging nature of God himself. You know how kids, when they're trying to convince you of the truthfulness or reliability of a promise they're making to you, will say, I swear on my life, or I swear on my brother's life, or if they're a teenager, I swear on my phone. Well, it's because as humans, we try and secure our oaths on the most personal, significant, and valuable thing we can think of. But as for God's promises, we see back in Hebrews 6 that he has nothing greater to swear by than himself. His holiness is unchanging, and thus he is the very standard of justice and morality. And knowing that he is immutably holy, he does not change nor lie. Because of this, we have complete assurance of his faithfulness to all of his promises forever. We see this concept repeated in Hebrews 10:23 when we're reminded to hold fast to the confession of our hope because he who promised is faithful. What an incredible comfort. And let's remember that God has made many promises to us as followers of Christ, which can encourage us as we live day to day. Do you ever get discouraged by the way you raised your voice at your kids or acted pridefully towards your husband? When you didn't keep your mouth shut when you should have, or when you chose to be lazy instead of diligent? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So when we fail, when we fall short of the standard and are tempted to bemoan our lack of victory, remember that God is faithful to fulfill his promise to sanctify and to perfect us. We just saw that in Romans 8, his promise to conform us into the image of his Son. Though we are responsible for our obedience, the ultimate result is dependent not on our faithfulness, but on his. Let's look quickly at just a sampling of the riches of his promises. He promises he will never leave us. He promises us perfect peace and a peace that surpasses all understanding. He promises us rest. He promises that his grace is sufficient. He promises us renewed strength. He promises that our trials have purpose. He promises us wisdom. He promises that by his wounds we are healed. And he promises that he will come back for us. There are so many more. But what do they all have in common? Well, they all rest not upon us and what we do, but solely upon God and his unchanging faithfulness. So ladies, what do we do with all of this? How should studying the immutability of God impact us? Well, I'd say that the immutability of God is a worthy anchor for us in a constantly changing world. See, an anchor is secure because it is unbending, and so is God's character, His word, and His purposes. And the great unchanging reality in our world, a world of frenetic change, a world in which few things last, in which few people are consistent, is that our God does not change. As He was in Bible times, so He is today, and He will be tomorrow. This canon should give us great comfort and lasting hope. He is the faithful and unchanging God we can trust completely. He will always be true to His word and fulfill all His promises. Christ tells us in Mark 11:22 to have faith in God. And we can do that with full confidence today and every day because our God does not change. I'll close with this quote from A.W. Pink. Human nature cannot be relied upon, but God can. However unstable I may be, however fickle my friends may prove, God changes not. If He varied as we do, if He willed one thing today and another tomorrow, if He were controlled by whim, who could confide in Him? But all praise to His glorious name, He is ever the same. His purpose is fixed, His will is stable, His word is sure. Here then is the rock on which we may fix our feet. Let's pray. Well, God, thank You so much for this time. Thank You for these women who are willing to come and just fellowship around Your word and learn what You would have us learn from Your word today, God. I thank You so much that You are a God that we can trust. You are the anchor for our souls, God. Thank You for being a God who is unchanging in all aspects, in Your character, in Your word, in Your purposes, and we can trust You. God, thank You for the salvation that You've offered to those in this room. And I just pray that our discussion time would be encouraging and edifying and honoring to You. In Christ's name.